Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gon' have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, 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 I'm back and happy as can be. Wow, what an exciting time I've had. It's been just totally amazing, and we'll get into that. I'm a little amazed right now, folks. There's 20 chapters done in the new book, and I'm just going through some of this stuff. And here's some of the titles: Texas Paris Introduction, Texas Paris Bigfoot Boot Camp, Texas Paris Foot and Handprint Photos, Texas Paris Country Cupboard. A lot of things went on there. Texas Paris Cries in the Woods and Thrown Rocks, Texas Paris Night Search in a Storm and a Tornado, Texas Paris Thermal Image, More Prints and Texas-Sized Clams, Texas, Louisiana, Sabine Forest, Louisiana, Sabine Parish, Route 175, Texas Paris Sighting, Amazing Experience. You know what? This one in the Texas, Louisiana, Sabine Forest, in Louisiana, Sabine Parish, Oh, my God, that's the one. I forgot all about that. Texas Paris preparing for a Bigfoot capture. My God, Texas Paris swamp, tree-knocking Bigfoot noises. Texas Indian Reservation, Bigfoot hair found. Here it is, a real big one. Texas Paris Camp Maxi. Texas Lamar Point Camp Maxi reporter coverage. When a reporter is a witness to Bigfoot in major sighting. My God, folks, it goes on and on. I forgot. And this is just in Texas. There's 20 chapters just in Texas. Oh, my God. This is Texas Commerce, the wild man of North Texas. Forgot all about him. Texas Texahoma, Cooper Lake. Texas Paris Plum Orchard Prince. Oh, my God. I mean, folks, it goes on and on and on. I just haven't had a chance to go through it all because they want to release this book. So all of you Bigfoot patriots and Bigfoot entrepreneurs and want to do your own self-expeditions, you get this book when you go to these towns or the states that you want to investigate. We've already been there, done that. So now you're going to have a lot more stuff to go to before than I did. And you'll see all the different cities and in that state and where we went, the people who we met, who people that we, and what we found. And you'll be able to see the names and phone numbers and everything else to contact these people. Nobody's ever done this. Nobody. My God. Alex, what is this not incredible or what?
That's amazing. How much is that book going to sell for, roughly?
I have no idea, but I'll guarantee it's no more than a double sawbuck or under. That means about $19
not
a chain.
It's not enough.
Oh, it's nothing, man.
It's
are you kidding me?
Not for all those contacts.
It's about 3 gallons of gas. There you go. Because I'll tell you this. We saw it fluctuate from where we went. It got as high as $7.99 a gallon to as low as $6.69. So it's you know, listen, that's a whole new world for me, folks. I'm going to tell you. I told you this in the beginning, and guess what's going to happen? Everybody has got used to paying these outrageous prices, and guess what's going to happen? It's not going to go down real soon, believe me. Because they're testing the waters. Our government is testing the waters to see what happens and if we go along with it. And got, by the way, these freeways, these byways, these roads are packed solid. Packed solid. Brother Ray left early this morning to go back to New Mexico, and he was going over the pass out there from Bakersfield. He gets in that mountain, and I said, boy, you should have clear ceiling. He says, no, Tom. My brother, he said, they're crawling over this mountain. Is that true, Ray?
Mountain. Yes, it is true that the trucks were crawling over the mountains. But here in California, they set the speed limit signs for regular vehicles at 70 miles per hour. For vehicles like trucks that have three or more axles, it's 55 miles per hour. So, but then
and what,
up
what
mountain,
kind of rate of miles per hour are you going?
I'm trying to go with regular vehicle miles, whatever that might be, 70 or so. And,
Ray, stay focused, yep. Please, because I know that you've been in a food coma for 10 days. So my question is this. When you called me about a half hour ago, you told me you were crawling over the mountain. Is that correct, yes or no?
Yes.
How much was the speed limit that you were going?
I was going about 40 miles per hour.
4 miles an hour?
40 miles per hour.
Okay. In a 70-mile zone?
Yes.
Wow, folks. So thank you for that info. Just stand by. So here's what I'm getting at, folks, okay? It's crucial as hell. I hope you got your ears on. I hope you're going to do something about this. Write your congressman. Write your assemblyman. Write your senator. Write somebody, okay? Because what's going to happen, it's only going to get worse. Only going to get worse. Because they're testing the waters to see how we take it. Because everybody thinks, oh, wow, our great president, he's going to do something. He gets into office and he fires all those people on that damn thing, the pipeline, and says, no, we don't need that. Well, great. So now what happens? Okay? We really needed it now and fired all those people that were doing. And then all those people that were up there doing shacking that Obama said, oh, we're not going to have to worry about gas any longer. Well, shit. Ukraine goes to war with Russia. And now here, because our dear president just sent him, what was it, $34 or $44 billion with a B? When we got homeless situations here, we got gas problems here, how come he's not doing something for us? I don't know who was it on the show a while back, and they said, oh, well, he's going to give us some vouchers. Oh, really? What are these vouchers going to do? Oh, they're going to give us $600 a month in gas vouchers. Well, don't you think people can use them? As a matter of fact, I think the Swede was the one that told me that. Swede, are you on the line? I hope Swede's not in a coma, food coma also. Food, you out there, Swede? Is he on, Alex?
Yeah, he is, but I don't know what's going on here.
He's been up at 4 o'clock this morning, poor guy. What do you think about this situation, Rocky? Well, is Rocky on or not? I heard him earlier.
The board collapsed, so we're having some technical difficulties. Keep talking.
Okay, we had
a full crew.
Okay, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is getting absurd. It's getting crazy. What are we going to do? I was just notified 2-3 days ago that Smithfield, the one that does all that pork, bacon, and all that stuff, they're moving out of California. They can't take it. The prices are too damn high. I guess they're going to Kentucky or Alabama. So what the heck's going on, guys? The whole thing is nuts. But I got to tell you this. I sure have missed you guys. Do we have anybody with us yet, Alex?
Not yet.
Well, we got you and I. That's not a bad deal. That's not a bad deal at all. Okay. So here's the thing I don't understand, folks. We got somebody because that's the door of a vehicle that just opened up. Who is that out there?
Father Ray.
Well, there you go. Ray, what do you think about this gas situation? Well, that was on quick, wasn't it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell, we're having some technical difficulties, as they call it in the industry. Maybe there's somebody in cyberspace trying to shut us down. I don't know. I really don't know more, okay? It's inconceivable. And I got to tell you why.
Their prices go up.
What?
They're going to pass the cost on to the consumer and raise the prices. And then people are going to say, I can't keep up with this. I can't. Something is going to have to give. Either I give up my driving. I do whatever it is. Something's going to have to give.
So what do you think's going to give?
People are going to make a decision and say, "Well, I'm not going to drive, except
in town." Well, you
know
what Tucker always said, don't you? Pass, give.
Or they'll say, I'm going to cut down on my food, or I'm going to have to cut down on meds, or something. have to set priorities as to, well, what's important, what's the least thing that I don't want to sacrifice, and I'll put my money to that. That's what I think is going to happen. People are, and there's going to be there's going to be a housing bubble that's going to break as well. People are going to foreclose. They're going to foreclose on their mortgages. Have their mortgages foreclosed on. I don't see this happening. I don't see a soft landing in this situation.
And you know what? You may be true. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I met a couple. They were, she was 28 and he was 32. They bought their first home. They put $460,000 down on their home. Their payment each month was $10,700 a month, folks. That's right. You heard it straight up. $10,700 a month for their payment on their home. And by the way, the home was 56 years old, but they did say they had some improvements on it. But my gosh, are you serious? Now, they say it's only 20% of your income supposed to go towards your house payment. So how much is this guy making? $50,000 a month?
Yeah, I think those numbers are out the window now. We're back. We got the board back. We got Swede Live. We got Rocky Live. We got everybody on the air.
So do we have the Swede?
I'm here, Tom.
Well, Swede, tell everybody what you told me about Smithfield. Where are they going?
Tyson's Food Zone's Smithfield, and boy, now's the time, like I told you, Tom, now's the time to buy the pork because they are liquidating their hog operations in California. That means all their breeder hogs, that means all their baby hogs, and that means all of them that are getting ready to go to slaughter by the first of 2023, they are going to be out of there. Gone. Vamanos. Leaving. Adios, amigos. They're leaving California. And they've spent the last 2 years building a curing plant and a processing plant pretty close over there somewhere over there by where Doyle lives in Kentucky. And they're putting a bunch of the coal miners back to work, and they've already got people already signed up, and there's people working on construction and installation. They're getting their operations ready to go. And like I said, there's going to be a whole bunch of – they're clearing the warehouse, as we talked about. There's going to be a bunch of pork on sale at low prices for a little bit as they liquidate thousands of those breeder sows, and there's going to be sausage and hams and everything out there pretty reasonably priced. But after that, there's going to be a big lull, and the prices are going to go up again, of course, so as they try to catch up.
So what do you think about what Father Ray just – did you hear? He gave a great synopsis of what's going to happen with the economy. Did you hear it, what he said?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's it's happening here. There's already people talking about with this gas prices and just the small world of my world. Just today, we talked about we were putting hay up, natural resource that's plentiful here in Northwest Arkansas. We roll hay up into bales to feed our cattle, and the guy that I was working with was doing some crunching some numbers. He's going to put up a third less. The hay is worth three times what it was worth, but we're only going to be able to put – we're going to have to put up a third less because of fuel cost alone. So it's a no-win for a lot of people. You're going to – like Ray said, you're going to have to, you know, pick your battles whether or not you're going to, you know, spend it all on groceries, spend it all on gasoline, spend it all on your medication, whatever it might be. In our situation here, it's diesel fuel. A tank of fuel that one of the bulk tanks used to cost us around $750 to fill up. Now it costs over $2,000. So.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Almost three times the amount.
Three times on fuel, on diesel. Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is this, Beard of Knowledge. because I'm, you know, I, when you talk, I listen, okay? I have no trouble with that. So here's my big problem. Since everybody is not saying a damn thing about the price of gas today, the government, I really believe, is testing everyone out to see how far they can push the envelope. That's my personal opinion. Like I said, we've been on the road. I have never seen so many people on the road in my entire life that are paying almost $7.99 a gallon in some places that we saw when we traveled. So my question to you is, where are these people getting that money, number one? How come nobody is bitching and moaning, number two? And number three, where's all these promises? As a matter of fact, you're the one that told me about these gas vouchers we were supposed to get. You remember saying that to me?
Oh, yeah. Newsom in California said that he was going to issue, it's been probably, what, 6 weeks ago I told you that, he was going to issue $400 for singles and $600 for family for gasoline in the state of California under the taxpayer's dime.
Right. So nobody has gotten that money. They, you know, they all talk big story, and now nobody's gotten any money or vouchers. Is it just, you know, put a little grease on the wheel that's squeaking, and then, you know, when it squeaks again 2 months down the line, we'll give them a little bit more grease. Is that how it works?
I think what's happened, Tom, is everybody got the COVID thing under their skin, and everybody's been with all the mandatory lockdowns and this and that and the other, and all the fear of the COVID, which we, you know, like you say, it's going to be with us, and we're going to have to deal with it. Everybody's getting out, and they're doing it, and they've saved money because they haven't went on vacation last year, and this, and people's got a little bit of a budget, but that budget is getting expended. It's getting spent. The only reason that there's any economy at all is because of that. And in after this little surge is gone, it's going to tank out. Like I told you, and I heard today, Joe Biden, the president of our United States, bashing the oil companies. And I've seen many, I told you this, the strategic oil that they're trying to take. He's trying to put the Band-Aid, as you say, greasing the wheel, trying to take the strategic oil to lessen the burden on at the pump with by a million gallons a day, which is a drop in the bucket of what we need, you know, as it goes. And the big wheels that he's bashing the oil companies, saying that it's all their fault. And the guys at the oil thing are saying, hey, man, if you would just relax or draw back the fracking thing, take that stopping the fracking thing off, because everybody's saying, oh, don't do the fracking. But what they don't understand is that when they made that, if you read the fine print, that's all the wells that are capped that are sitting there with, as the oil company says, 1,000 times as much oil as the national reserve has in it, and they could have it to the pump and lower the cost of fuel by a dollar a gallon in 17 days.
Wow.
And the current administration will not repeal that order.
Well, I don't know about appealing, but I can tell you this. Some people are not keeping their word, in which they said and told all these people and gave everybody out there all this hope, spirit of knowledge. And it bothers me that nobody has been raising up in arms and saying, hey, this is all a bunch of bullshit. Let's get back to basics here and take care of the people that voted for you, at least, for crying out loud. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree with that, too. And, you know, what's really sad about this is that they have played this card about, oh, it was a, you know, everybody's got this thing about the about the supply chain and there's no truck drivers. Well, there's about a certain amount of those truck drivers are independents. And if you can't even pay the fuel price for the load that you're going to haul, all of them are stopping. So you've tightened the supply chain down even worse.
So I don't know. Does it seem like the common sense part of the equation is getting, you know, applied at all, in my opinion?
Well, how dare you try to apply logic to an illogical situation? You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And, oh, by the way, I want to thank all of you guys for last week. Man, I got blowed up on my texts. I got blowed up on my emails. I guess you guys had one hell of a show last week talking about just the basics that we get away from because we all knew it. But I guess I've got to thank you, and I got to thank the rock star and Alex, because you guys pulled that off, and people just loved it. And they all said, hey, Tom, can we continue on this week? Well, because I got back late yesterday, I think. I don't even remember what day I got back. But I'm hoping that at the bottom of the hour here in the next 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, we can continue on with that. And I'd like for the rock star to come and start that off for us. And, of course, you getting back into it. I guess the majority of the people, you guys, they were so interested in, hey, look, it's great to go out there hunting for Bigfoot, going on an expedition, even if you don't know what the hell you're doing. But, hey, you better be careful. And what happens if you get lost? What happens if you get injured and you're miles away from everywhere and your cell phone doesn't work? What happens if you get bit by a snake? What happens if you get deluged with them some bitches that I can't stand, and your balls start to itching and your brain start to scratch and you say, oh my God, I got to get the hell out of here, and you're delirious and don't know where you're at? I mean, some of these questions that came in, the statements that people made of what you guys did and talked about was unbelievable. So what I'd like to do, if we can, okay, since it was the rock star's intuition that brought this thing all together, Rocky, you out there?
Yes, sir, I am.
And by the way, thank you for what you did last week. Oh, my God, OMG, you just got everybody in a tear and a tither. So can we go over some of those good points that you went over last week for those who didn't get to hear it?
Absolutely. The if you can find a good point on the trigger. Yeah, it was I've racked my brain since then trying to remember what it was, what the stuff was that I sprayed on my clothes. You spray it on your clothes. You put it in a bag and leave it for a day or two. And then for the next 4 or 5 months, you can lay down with the chiggers and the ticks, and they'll just, if they get on you, they'll just fall over dead. And I cannot remember the name of the product.
Well, it was called the Powder of Seven in Texas, which I finally got hold of.
The seven dust works good if you do it like Jeremy and just coat yourself in it. But I don't think I'm going to do that. I think that's probably more detrimental to your health than maybe the chiggers are.
You know, but I got to tell you a story. You'll appreciate this more so than probably a lot of people, Rocky. Michael Sells, God rest his soul, who's been with us from the beginning and then, you know, got injured by one of these creatures, and I don't know if it had anything to do with his death, but he did die. And he was the one that got some of that powder for us, Powder of Seven, he called it. And he put
seven,
it in a...
Seven dust.
Seven dust. So he put it in this in a sock. And remember when you were a kid and you used to mash up the old chalk on Halloween? And for those assholes that didn't give you anything when you knocked on their doors, we used to leave them on there, and we used to hit the doors with the sock, and it would leave the damn powder of the chalk on it. Well, that's what he did, and he just said, take this, and he just, you know, put it all over our clothes, and primarily after we, down there where your britches are on the bottom, we'd put the two things. We would use those dog things for ticks and put them on our ankles, and then we would put the duct tape around so they wouldn't come out there, and then we used the seven dust, and then we'd do it around our waist and our sleeves and around our neck. Well, of course, now this is after the fact, after you get 362 bites all over your damn body.
Right.
But I'll tell you, folks, it did work. I mean, but they still get through. Some of them do get through. I don't care what you say. They still get through one way or another, unless you wear gloves. I think I'd have to wear gloves next time. And then also put one of those nests around my face and stuff and the hair, because they seem to get through anyway. But what was the major thing that you guys talked about last week? Because you got all these people in a tether.
Well, we were talking about the ticks and chiggers and wild hogs and bears and things that go bump in the night and kill you and eat you. Told them that, you know, in my experience, we've had a whole bunch more wild hogs come into our camp and bears come into our camp than we've had Bigfoot come into our camp. And as a side, you brought up a childhood memory of me. When we were children, we would steal a pair of mom's nylon stockings, but we wouldn't put chalk in it. We would fill them about a quarter of the way full of cow shit and then pour some water on it and get it all squashed up. And we would hit the people with that. But we were heathens. Anyhow, no, we were talking about how many times that we had actually had to run bears out of our camp. And how I was a lot less afraid of a black bear than I am a wild hog coming in there and doing me harm, because they would do it just because you were there. A bear, they might do it thinking that, you know, they're saving their youngins. A wild boar don't care. He just as soon kill you as not. So, but we was talking about how upstream, you know, you see all this clear, beautiful water, all this spring water and all that, and you know, you get down there and you get you a big drink, and then as you walk upstream, you find that there's been a hog waller up above you, and you know, there's the fecal matter is falling to the bottom, but the stuff that the fecal matter carries hasn't it's come down there for you to drink, and it can be truly awful. And but that was our main thing, was all the things that big and small that can so easily put you in the hospital or in the mortuary. And and like I say, hogs being my main fear. Bears,
no,
you're talking about
those wild pigs, and it always reverts to a story with me that you and Swede and me and young
Chico.
Bud and the ex-Navy SEAL, Chico. I'll never forget that we were in Texas somewhere. It wasn't Lamar Point. And you
It was Rockwall.
Rockwall, Texas, where the school principal called us in. Yep, that's right. So we get out, we get approval, ladies and gentlemen, on this land and get everything set up and the suite and the rock star are getting ready for the nighttime hunt. And we left it alone to get the human sent out and came back the next morning. And by golly, by Jiminy, you have no idea. Let's get Swede to tell everybody what happened that night with those hogs. You got the floor, Swede.
Oh, yeah. We had a time at Rockwall, didn't we, Tom? It was amazing. We got down there and found us a great spot there on that piece of property right on the river. And we set up a little base camp, and we went out to the after the sun went down, we went out and kind of staked out a spot, you know. Rocky went one way, and I went the other. And I was sitting there, man. All of a sudden, I heard some crunching and this and that going on, kind of coming running through the woods there. And, boy, here come the hogs come running by me. And, I mean, it wasn't just a small amount of them either. It was a pretty good dose of hogs come by. And they run right on over there where Rocky was. And I don't remember if he had very much of an encounter with them or not. And I don't really remember exactly what happened to Chico, but I knew he got his arm gouged pretty heavily, and we ended up sewing him up. But I don't remember honestly exactly what happened to Chico's arm. I don't know how he got involved in that. I don't know if he got run over or what happened. What happened, Rocky? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Well, he didn't get run over. He was walking up through the brush, and the old boar come busting out of there and just hit his arm.
Just got him.
Just hit his, just hit his arm and just kept on going. And, you know, Chico come walking up through there. When he got up there where we were, he was pumping blood, and we had to do some field first aid. And of course, you got to understand that Chico's tough as $2 steak, and he didn't gripe about the. He thought that if he had a chance to get a shot off, he'd kill it next time. But never made a sound while we were cleaning him up and the Swede was stitching him up.
He said I did a good job on my stitching.
Yeah, it was a good stitch job, but not as good as my tooth pulling. I learned a long time ago from a guy that I was in the Marine Corps with that he was from Louisiana. Him and his brother was hunting in southern Arkansas, and a wild boar come busting out of the brush and just ran past him, and it knocked him down, but when he tried to get up, he realized that his leg wasn't working. And so he ended up with a medical discharge from the Marine Corps, and his leg never did. Well, it's basically a little skinny stick that he walks around on now. But, and you know, like I say, I've never had a problem with a bear. In most cases, if you yell real loud, you can scare a bear off. But, you know, with a hog, you don't know what's on their mind other than I just assume they're there to kill me.
You know, I got a question for you and the Swede. We were there in Texas, and we were out with the local guy. His name was Bill something or another, real nice guy. Let us use his boats when we were out there, and had a big, big piece of land, and did a lot of bunch of cookouts. And one night he says, let's go pig hunting. Well, this guy just bang, bang, and two of them were dead, and he opens it up, guts the damn thing, and brings it back to his barn where he, you know, blooded out completely and did the meat. This was the first time I ever saw purple meat on a pig. Have you guys ever seen purple meat?
Oh, yeah, it's the diet. It's the diet, Tom.
Yeah.
They don't get that corn fed. They get dark, almost red meat, like beef. You know, remember those pictures I sent you of those hogs I killed out here in the backyard? That's the way they were. The meat was dark meat, like dark meat chicken, almost purple.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, hey, Bill, I said, this hog turned rancid. It's got to be. He said, no, it don't. No, it don't, Tommy. Stop. I'm going to cut you off a piece here. We're going to cook it up. And when you taste it, you're going to love it. And, of course, I did, and he was right. But you're exactly right. I remember now. That's what it was. It was the diet. It was, you know, their objects of their own environment. That's right, what they eat. Wow.
It is the, yep. It's their diet and the proximity to bone. They always say the closer the bone, the sweeter the meat. And that's a whole different thing.
You sick bastard.
He's talking about the wrong kind of pork again.
Somebody needs to do some squealing.
Oh, God. Right. You're back to your old self, aren't you?
I'm trying.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please forgive him and forgive me for laughing. Oh, here, this guy, his name is John Washington, J-O-N, Washington. Tell, was Rocky, was Rocky talking about a woman or a hog?
Well, it could go either way.
John, you heard what he said, John Washington. He said it could go either way. Oh, God. Well, oh, you're going to like this one. This came in from Jamie Sanchez. Now, I don't know if that's a guy or a girl, but Jamie wants to know. Rocky, do you have personal experience that the meat sweeter closer to some balls? Oh, my God. Where's you guys' minds in the gutter tonight? So Jamie Sanchez wants, can you answer that question?
I didn't even catch it all, but no, I'm too old for that shit.
Oh, God. You guys are too deep. But let me ask you something, Alex.
Oops.
Did you ever think that you'd hear that out of Rocky's mouth?
I didn't. I gotta turn that delay back on so I can mute him. Mute out those Arkansas cusses.
Oh, here's a good one that just came in right now. Janice Coles. The question is to the Swede. Swede, does the Lyme disease that deer have any effect on the meat after somebody eats it? Well, we're going to find out right now after a commercial, and the Swede's going to tell us all about it. Alex, let's go to a commercial, please.
Okay, Pop.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, That's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmargen, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back.
Hey, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Every time I get a chance to hear that little ditty, boy, I'll tell you straight up, dudes and dudettes, it just brings chills down my spine. That's right, Bigfoot Lives. It started it all for me way back when. Get a chance, go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, and you can order them, and it goes on to Bigfoot 2, Bigfoot 3, Hoax, Pursuit, and all of them. And Rocky will tell you how you can get to see one of them completely free on some damn outlet there. By the way, I want to say hello to my good buddy before we go over to the Swede, the Doyle down there in Kentucky. Doyle, you out there?
He is, Tom. He's coming in now.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, you know I'll be here every night for you, brother.
Oh, you're the man. You're the man. You're the guy that loyalty is the real, that's the reason how that word came about, loyalty, Doyle. Doyle, what do you got to add to this, the stuff there in the woods that these expedition people that doing it for the first time, what do they got to look for first, real quick?
Well, let me start off by one thing, Tom. You touched on something about Smithfield earlier.
Yeah.
They are now the largest employer in Bell County, Kentucky.
Is that right?
They are. We have one of the largest meatpacking plants in the United States here now, thanks to Ms. Pelosi in California.
Yeah, a lot of
these people, Smithfield people, are so tickled because the Kentuckians are just willing to come to work for $18 an hour in benefits that it's crazy. They came in like overnight, and over 400 ex-coal miners are now working at that plant.
Wow. Well, our government, I guess, should be real happy, too, because now they're off of all that assistance, aren't they?
Well, I'll just tell you right now, this meatpacking plant is, like I say, it's our biggest industry in Bell County, Kentucky right now. And let me tell you something. These people that came in are so amazing, and they're just so pleased just to give $18 an hour to employees to start. Okay, you can buy a, let me tell you, I guarantee you this, you can't buy a pound of bacon in California for 99 cents.
Hell no.
But you can buy it here for 99 cents.
That just blows my mind, you know, just totally.
I love spiral ham. with brown sugar and
Put
a little ginger ale on there and bake that thing all day long and make you some homemade dressing and some homemade mashed potatoes to go with that. And it's just one of the best meals you ever eat. Like I said, your tongue will be the top of your roof of your mouth off just eating it. And you can buy a 5-pound spiral ham for $12 here.
My God, you don't tell too many people that. Everybody will be migrating down there where you live, or Bell County, that's for damn sure. Because it's crazy as hell over here. I got to tell you that.
The bottom line
up.
Is this. I can't believe the amount of the rent and the cost of property there. It's crazy. Because
it is.
Out here, down here, for $600 a month, you can rent a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home.
Oh, my God. My God. Hey, by the way, I want to tell you that remember that guy that wrote the book, Gary Baldacci?
Yep.
The ex-DEA agent and CSI agent and all that.
Hey, buddy, he put me in tears because me and he have been through so much of the same stuff together.
I know, and I related that to him, and he called me the other day. I think it was last week because I was gone, and he says, man, he was still getting people calling him and everything else. We're going to have him on the show next week. We're going to have him back and see where he's – I think he's only one or two chapters away from finishing this whole thing up. So I think we'll have him back on next week. He was an interesting guest. And, my gosh, the people just love the hell out of him. And they loved you for two reasons. Number one, they never heard you break down because apparently – and I went back and listened. You were in tears, weren't you?
I was. And I'll tell you, part of it was he was talking about his wife prosecuting. His wife was an attorney. She was a prosecutor. And she prosecuted child abuse cases for all them years. Well, I worked 3 counties in Kentucky, and I was the only child abuse detective for 11 years here. And that's what got me broke down, Tom.
Wow.
Because
wow.
I could relate to him. I could relate to that.
Well,
I understood that.
Hey, the guy's a stand-up dude, man. I really like him. And anything that we can do to assist him and get the word out on his book.
Oh, yeah, the book's on the way. I mean, as soon as it's done, it's on the way. It's already coming.
Oh, you ordered one already?
Oh, yeah.
Attaboy. Oh, I'm happy to hear that. And if Gary, if you're listening out there tonight, I hope that you hear this too, because you made a lot of friends in the Bigfoot world, son. You really did. So
right.
I want
to
ask
Let's
you
get back
quick.
To the woods thing. Let's get back to the woods thing.
Yeah. So the key to it is right now, when you're out in the brush, tell me about the Lyme disease.
Oh my gosh. It's horrible. If you get bit by an Appalachian tick, you can die real quick of a brain aneurysm. I mean, you're lucky you didn't die of a brain aneurysm when you got so many tick bites.
But see, hold on. Here's one for Swede. I hope you still got your ears on, Swede. This guy's name is Sanjay, and Sanjay's saying, Swede, what happens about the meat that a deer has, and after they're bit with it, can they transfer that Lyme disease in the meat, and then the stuff that we eat, can we get it, yes or no?
I'm not a pathologist, and the deal is, I'm not real sure for sure about that, Tom, but I know this. I'm not sure. I know that the deer get bit by the ticks. And if the deer is in good shape and he's a fine specimen and he's not, you know, his posture's good and everything's cool, he's not walking around all weird or something before you harvest him. But what happens is the people that are cleaning the deer, processing the deer, gutting the deer, skinning the deer, get the ticks off the deer and get bit and get the Lyme disease directly from the freaking tick.
Oh, my God. Is that true?
That's how they get it.
Wow.
So I don't know about, I think the cooking kills the virus. If you cook it, you know, if you, you know, bring it up to 135, 140 degrees, kills the virus, you know, from the cooking process. But most people in Arkansas that get Lyme's disease is because they were cleaning the ticket, deer, I mean, cleaning the deer, you know, field dressing it at deer camp and got a tick, get the ticks, they jump off of them as soon as that, you know, it's cold weather, as soon as that deer cools down, them ticks leave. They turn loose and they're looking for something warm and they get on them and people can track it from the ticks biting them, not from the meat. That's what I get. I'm not a pathologist. That may not be true, but I know it's true from the catch it from the ticks.
That's totally amazing. Totally amazing. You know, I always had fear in my head about that, you know. And then I got to thinking to myself, well, Tom, I don't know if you guys ever ate the back strap of a deer, but to me, that's probably the best meat I've ever had in my life. What about you?
Oh, yeah.
You need to try the tenderloin.
Well, I don't know. That
you know
what's like filet mignon. Yeah, that's right. The back strap.
I know what the new scare is, guys.
You need to try the inner loin.
Sweet, yeah, is it better than the back strap?
Yes.
The inner loin is like the back strap would be your New York strip, Tom, in your lingo.
Yeah.
The inner tenderloin is the filet mignon.
It is.
Yes.
Well, then, Rocky, I'm holding you to it when I hit Arkansas.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
So, Tom, let's Doyle and Swede and Rocky, what do you know about the new threat in elk and deer? And that's the mad cow disease. You know, BSE,
yeah, the chronic waste.
Cow, and I think it's
chronic,
yep,
waste
PWD.
Disease, yeah.
Chronic wasting.
Yeah.
Chronic wasting. And yep, it is,
that's when people try to hoard deer up and try to try to farm them, and they deer have to run wild in order to eat them.
Every deer farm is rampant with chronic wasting disease, where they're trying to get the urine and everything to attract other deer.
So now you shoot an elk. You shoot an elk or a deer in Wyoming and Montana. You have
right.
to get that tested. And,
right.
and if it has, in 20% of the catch is infected, and it's junk if you test it, and it's bad.
So does anybody know the story about these deer that's killed on the roads and on the freeways? Because the DNR used to have a guy that's all he did was pick up these dead ones, and he'd bring it to the prisons, and they'd feed it to the inmates. Are they still
that's
doing
right.
that?
Yes, they're doing it.
Yeah, they still do it.
They're still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's roadkill, but it's free meat for the prisoners, and it saves the jails a lot of money.
Well, I'm sure it does. But now are they going to have to inspect every damn thing that they pick up? Probably so.
Not
huh?
here. We don't have a problem with that here. We don't have deer farms. People won't tolerate it.
Well, here,
if you want a deer here, you got to go out in the woods and earn it.
Out here in Arkansas, we use a can of orange spray paint to deer hunt with.
Okay. I can't wait to hear this one, Rocky.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to tune in next week because that little clock on the wall says, hey, Tom, this hour went and zoomed by one more time. But you know what? We're going to have Gary Beldocchi with us, and you're going to hear the rock star himself tell us what he's going to do with that can of orange spray paint when he goes deer hunting. Kudos and salutations. I want to thank each and every one of my brethren. Until next time, America.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
good
everybody.
Good night. God bless everybody from Kentucky.
Alex, thanks for running the show so well.
Great.
Good night, Doyle.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact. Okay.